Awesome. I'm from Northern California, up in the Chico area, Redding, in that area.
Yeah, I used to have a radio show on in Reading. I don't think it's on anymore. We did, my twin brother and I did the old time radio programs for about 20 years, and the last couple of years we well, not simulcasted, but we also made a copy of the show that we did here locally in Pasadena available to a non-commercial FM station in Reading, and so they would play that show on a Sunday. I don't know if it's still on the air or not. I don't. Not, a friend of ours took it over, and I don't know if he's still up on that show or not. But it was a lot of fun, and it got a lot of good reaction from people.
Awesome. And I was also reading the email discussion that Mike sent out this morning in regards to his experience with GPS. And it so happens that I sometimes when I go out towards that area where he's from, I would pass by that town.
Okay, yeah, that's good.
As a matter of fact, I'm not too far from where he's staying, from where he's saying he took an adventure to in GPS land. Hey, Chris. Hope you had a good turkey day.
Hello, everybody. How's everybody going?
Oh, turn down your microphone.
I think they heard that one in probably London.
Yeah, I got these Bose computer speakers, so they're impossible to break. But I think Chris almost done it.
That sounded distorted.
Much better.
That wasn't Chris, that was Armando.
Chris, you want me to demo what you just did?
No, it's a new microphone.
That sounds better now.
Much better.
So I was asking you, Chris, how was your ticker day with GPS?
Thursday with GPS, there wasn't any because I didn't go anywhere. How about everybody else? How was yours?
It was good, surrounded by family and whatnot, family, friends. Had a good time. GPS didn't go anywhere either, and it hasn't been going anywhere for a week since I've been off school.
Yeah, good Thanksgiving. We had about seven people come over and show up. It was a very good, quiet weekend.
Hello, Jim.
Hello, everyone. I hope everyone's doing fine.
That sounded a little bit faint on your side, Jim, but we're glad you're doing fine.
I'm on the road again, using the GPS again.
I take it you have your maps installed.
Real quick, but I had to delete something else in the folder because it wouldn't load all the map, which I'm surprised. So that means there's more megabyte and the software that was in it. So anyway, yeah, I just gone here and removed the MP3 file and saved it someplace else and got out all the map I wanted.
That's what counts. There's actually between 3.5 and 4.0, the data has increased.
Yeah, I figured that. So anyway, I gone ahead and put my wish list in for Santa for a flash card. 4 megabyte, 4 gig, 4 gig.
You didn't get a when they ordered that, Jimmy, they didn't give you a 2 4-gig card?
No, I got a 1 gig card.
Ah, you gonna get Jane Merrill to order it for you? Tell her you need an 8 gigabyte card.
I'll buy it.
I think I've seen him as low as a 4 gig card, $130.
I told Santa where to go for 52.
I must admit, now that I upgraded the Kisa 7.5, my GPS has actually been loading up a bit quicker when it came to the program itself.
Other Friday didn't give you a 2 4-gig card. She was asking me one time. I told her, yeah, get a 2 4-gig card. Go with it. And act like it's coming out of their pocket.
Well, actually, that configuration isn't enough to hold the United States.
At that time when he was getting it, they had the 2.4, then now you got the 8. We here, we here, if somebody get the M power, we give them as much memory as they can get. Hey, Charles.
Hey, Jerry, how are you doing, man? Just got back from a vacation in Canada. Did some deer hunting. Brother got two. I saw some. too far away, so it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you sound less stressful.
Wow. We have people around here go deer hunting. We've got a bunch of them around here.
Yeah, it was white-tailed deer hunting up in Canada, and our party ended up getting 4 deer. My dad just got one after I left, and it was nice. So had a great vacation. Got to spend time with the folks and my sisters and brother, and just relaxing now and getting back to the joys of GPS.
Charles, did you get a deer license?
Yeah, I did actually. My dad got me one in Canada there, so it was kind of cool.
Well, did you ask him? Here in California, a blind can get a free license to shoot. How about in Canada?
There probably is something like that, but just all the red tape and all that stuff. But my dad has his own hunting property that he owns, so we just hunt on there and got our licenses, and it was fine.
Oh, okay. All right, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Well, the main thing is you didn't have the vice president with you.
Here in Texas, I go to the Bass Sporting Good, or gave him my piece of paper, certificate of legally blindness. I get my fishing license and a hunting license for free here. So it's good for a whole year, I guess. But when I hunt, I always tell my wife, she's always in front of me.
Yeah. There was a few jokes about not having DC around, so that was good too. So they're joking about that episode in Canada as well. No, I actually used the GPS to mark where all the tree stands were that my dad has on the property, and so that was kind of cool. And it was neat to see how far away different tree stands were, because he has 50 acres and a lot of tree stands around the perimeter and stuff, and it was just neat to see, oh, that's 700 yards that way, or 700 feet this way, or, X number of 1.2 miles, from camp and stuff like that. So it was pretty neat, because we have a cottage that's about a 5-minute drive, 5-10 minute drive, and it was neat to see how far away those tree stands were from our cottage.
By the way, Charles, do you have dual citizenship?
I do now, yes. I got my citizenship in April of this year, and so now I'm a dual citizen and registered to vote, and so looking forward to all that new experiences here in the U.S.
Congratulations. Yeah, my wife got hers 2 years ago. She did dual citizenship, and we went to the to the ceremony and all that. It was pretty nice.
Well, then you can use your dad's address on his property to get your your hunting license, since you have dual citizenship. But anyway, congratulations.
Yep, and that's pretty much what I do. Thanks. Yes, Mundo Man.
Just make sure you don't get drafted, eh?
Yeah, that's true. And thanks for the Canadianism at the end there.
Or... Wait till you get your first jury summon when you do vote to be jury duty.
Just to let you know, Shaw, my mom, she's a Canadian. She never got her citizenship, and on my mom's side, all our family live in Canada.
Right on. So what's new here? I haven't been around for a couple weeks here, just relaxing and, just checking out, seeing... The user list seemed pretty active. I come back to like 100 emails. It was pretty brutal.
Well, that was fairly active. I mean, there were 30 or 40 messages asking why the list was so quiet. I mean, it's not that hard to figure out. It's over the Thanksgiving holidays, but somebody had to respond to all the other 30 or 40 messages. So my delete key got active at that point.
Mine did too. And when you start reading, then it's what, that doesn't say nothing. Then you delete that, and then next thing you know, when you see name, certain name pop up, you just delete them, because you know it's nothing going to be said. Then, because sometimes I get a good message, and somebody write a good article about their experience with a GPS, and I like to forward that to certain people at the VA who intend to make it difficult for people to get GPS. So, and you get too many. And I had two other lists, and they were getting like the GPS list too, and I said, man, I deleted 200 in one day.
Yeah, that's why I'm not on too many lists. Actually, I think the GPS and just my own beta lists are the only really lists I'm on. And people send me stuff from other lists when I need to know, so I don't have to be burdened with all that useless nonsense that a lot of these people are dishing out these days. But anyway, so Chris, you're pretty quiet.
I was just listening to you.
I like the read when Mary Ellen write up her little story adventure. She'll make me laugh almost every time.
Oh yeah, she's a kick. I like her stories too. I usually try to read what she writes. Yeah. So no, it's you know, you have to take with the good with the bad, I guess. And certain people you can just sort of ignore, or I just briefly skim through and, you know, don't deal with it.
Hey there, Charles and Chris.
While you guys talking here, I'm having French fries and Omaha tenderloins. What, Omaha tenderloin steak?
Right on. That's pretty cool. That's definitely a Texas thing to do.
Hello, Kevin.
Yeah, hey, Kevin. Saw your email, and yeah, I'm not sure what's going to happen with that pedestrian route. I'll have to take a look and see why it's so out of the way. My guess is that some of those roads on the TeleAtlas data are classified as vehicle only, and that's why the only route possible is the way that our system gives it. But I will check that out and send a message to Dakarta and see what they think about that.
That was interesting, because I was previewing the route and going turn by turn and checking the road classifications for each one, and there was one case where the actual route had me go on a ramp for the pedestrian route, which was interesting. And I just sort of checked the route that Google gave and just checked the road classifications that it gave, and each road was classified as arterial, so I'm not really sure what was going on there.
Hmm. So the route in the vehicle route that we produced, you went along it, and there was all arterial? There was no limited access?
Yeah, for the vehicle route for the Sendero system, it was all either arterial or local, so not really sure why the pedestrian route had us go on the ramp and just go on weird roads like that.
That is very weird. So yeah, if that's really the case, I will verify that. And if that's really the case, I'll send that exact route to Dakarta and let them deal with it, since I don't really I don't have to deal with the route calculation. They deal with that. So if we found a route that is really not optimized very well for pedestrian should have been, we'll put that on their plate.
So do you want me to create the route and save it and send it off to you, or?
Actually, you know what? That would be good. Yeah. Thanks, because then it saves me from having to do it.
All right, it'll be on your way probably by the end of the chat.
I'll do it and put it in the system.
Okay, so don't worry about it then, Kevin. Chris will be able to put it right into the track system, and then I'll be able to grab it from there. So, thanks for doing the Google stuff for us and doing that legwork. Appreciate it.
Sure thing.
Yeah, if you guys come up with weird things that you can't explain, don't just shrug it off. You know, post your question, or send, if you don't think that it's an entire GPS list question or comment or concern, send it to Sendero, Chris, or I personally, and we'll take a look at it. Kevin found a route that, you know, the vehicle route was 10 miles and the pedestrian route was 100 miles. And, you know, so it's like, well, why is that? there could be some real reasons for that, or it could be that there's some error in me, you know, in the root calculations, and we'll figure it out.
I guess it's required for, I guess the system wants you to have some good exercise after all that turkey and food you eat over Thanksgiving holiday.
Yep, you know, it is time sensitive. I look and say, oh, it's the day after Thanksgiving, so I'm going to make you walk an extra 90 miles.
I think that might be the case because I think I created that route either the day of Thanksgiving or the day after.
Charles, I, for some reason, never have luck with the manual routes. I don't know how many times I've played with your suggestions, and I always get skewed readings.
Well, one thing you want to do is the thing is, if, as long as you, yeah, it's right here. Just the thing is, what you want to do is if you want to check your heading first before you record that waypoint. If your heading is correct, then when you drop that waypoint, and then when it says you're going to turn, you're saying it's going to be a left-hand turn. All I'm doing is taking your current heading and subtracting 90 degrees, or for a right-hand turn, I'm adding 90 degrees to wherever you're going. So if your current heading is off, then when I tell you, when you're following the route later, and I tell you to turn, you know, you won't be going the right way. So that's definitely one thing that you want to do, is just make sure your heading is, you know, is valid. And so if you know that you're going north and it says that you're going east, wait a few seconds and maybe go a little bit further to record that point. Or, you know, backtrack, go back 50 feet and come at it again so that you know when you get there, yeah, okay, now I'm really going north. Good. Now I can make a waypoint here and say that I'm turning left, and then the system will work correctly for you. And the other trick is to not put waypoints too close together, especially for turns.
Would they have any Holland M1000 to calculate a lot quicker, make a big difference too, Charles? Is that correct?
Yeah, a better receiver will be more accurate, so yeah.
Well, unfortunately, I'm stuck with what you guys gave me when I first, well, when the state first bought my GPS.
right, so you have the what, the Q Star or the Blue Logger?
236 Hollux.
I know the M1000 when we were on the freeway, and we were going from 281 on the freeway, then we're on the 281 loop, and then we had to jump over to the 1604, and it's all instantly simultaneously, and that GPS was really hitting it right on, real giving me practically pinpoint conditions where I had the 236, where I already passed that point. And then it gave me the position. Here was the M1000 gave me the position when I was there at the time when I needed it.
Hey guys, Jim here. Yeah, but you were probably walking. Otherwise, the 236 would probably do just fine. Just kidding, just kidding.
If I was walking, going about 60 miles per hour, that's pretty fast.
But yeah, with the misreadings, like I said, I'm using the 236. So I don't know what the deal is, and I just upgraded it, the key shop, to 7.5, and also the way the campus is set up, it's got like weird turns that you gotta like first cross the street and then turn, and so it's like, where do I go?
Yeah, it could be a little tricky, especially, you know, in a campus situation. You could have some tall buildings around you, or some dense trees, that could cause the signal to bounce around a bit. So, in those cases, it's going to be difficult to get a good reading without a more accurate, more sensitive GPS receiver. And the M1000 might help you in that situation, but it's hard to say. So, but you know, good luck, and you know. Verify your headings when you do create a manual route, and if the headings seem right to you, then your the route following and route that you create should be accurate. You can always send it to me if you want, and I could take a look at it and just sort of see what's going on. If you think that everything should be working right, I can, you know, and also create a replay of you following that route as well. after the fact. So with those two pieces of information, I can tell what's give you an idea of what's going on and sort of why the system's behaving the way it is.
You probably also want to make sure that your waypoints are not too close together and probably around 100 feet apart from each other.
See, there's two things I don't know. Feet-wise, when you guys talking about 50 to 100 feet, and also, like I said, I just pretty much gave up on the whole GPS when it came to the manual stuff because I just had enough. I just could not seem to get things right, and unlike other people, I don't have the means to have somebody let me borrow an M1000 receiver, so that's where I'm at a disadvantage as well.
I see. You know, one thing you might want to try, and this is what I do outside my house. I just walk down the street. I put a couple straight waypoints from my house, and then you know halfway down the block, and then a turn at the end of my block, and then I go down, you know, another 100 feet, you know, walking, just, you know, count off 50 to 100 paces and then mark another waypoint and make that your route. And then try following it and see where it tells you to turn and stuff and just sort of get a feel that way of a very simple route like that. Then it'll, once you get that working, that'll give you the confidence on how to create more complex manual routes.
Maybe I need some GPS training. Like I said, when I went training, it was in the Bay Area. Streets were all weird, and those were 3.51, like I said, and I only got like at least 4 hours of training, and me being in a sort of an inexperienced Braille note user, it's like, ugh, all these key concepts, like I felt like I had a slam.
Hey, Charles, Jim here with a question about the, remember I wrote to you about the time I was unable to create a vehicle route?
Yeah, I believe so. I get a lot of those. And usually it's because of a terminal street or something, but I think I made some changes in some of the patches that may have helped that. Are you still experiencing a problem?
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was, remember, yeah. After, as soon as I asked you that question, I realized you're inundated with a huge amount of email and people asking you this and that. It was several weeks ago. I was going up to this place called Grass Valley, and I was creating a vehicle route, which was over 100 miles, and it said unable to create route. And it was after I just installed 4.03 patch, and I guess I was I did have it happen on the way back as well, and I wondered, and you know, after doing a reset, it worked. There was a situation in the older, I think it was 3.5 GPS, where if you'd been using the calculator in the Empower, they said to somebody advised, I think it was Mike may have advised to reset the unit before you went into GPS. So that might be the problem. And I had been using the calculator. And, you know, after I did the reset, you know, everything worked okay. So that could be a solution to it. I don't know.
You know, that is interesting. I know there has been some calculator issues in the past. I know I've fixed a few that Kevin found after you, you know, used the calculator and you did some certain commands in GPS that it... things would either crash or hang or something, and it's all with the way that they leave the floating point arithmetic processor in a state that I'm not expecting, and you know, and I try to fix mine as I, you know, as I move along, as I find these things. So there could be something still lurking. It may not even be in my code, but you know, who knows. But if you can produce a scenario where, you know, you use the calculator and you try to create this route and it's unable to do it, please send us those the cookbook steps on how to do that, and we'll track it, and we'll try to get that fixed in an upcoming release. So, you know, be on the lookout for things like that. I know Kevin is, as well as everyone on our beta team. And, you know, if you find something, you know, if you can reproduce it, that's even better. Like after a reset, it works. And then you say, okay, well, let's try using the calculator, do the exact same steps again, and it doesn't work, send us that info, man, and we'll fix it up for you.
Yeah, I think that was an issue with the Way2Go product, and I found it then, but I don't believe it was fixed in 4.03.
Oh, really? Was that only a Way2Go fix, and we didn't... it's possible that wasn't in added to the 4.03, but I'm not sure. Maybe the next version of our software will fix that for you, Jim. I really don't know at this point. The I, you know, making new products, and I'm constantly going back and forth, and I don't know what I fixed in what version anymore.
Yeah, that's got to be frustrating, and you can't keep notes on all that. You'd never stop writing. But yeah, I'll try that. It's not that big of a deal, really, but you know, it was a curiosity, and it would be good if I could replicate it. I wasn't doing any heavy-duty scientific notation functions. It was just addition and subtraction and division, just simple stuff. So I can try that, see if I can replicate it, and if so, I'll pass it along. So I don't even know if it has to do with a long route or what, but it was about 111 miles, air miles, between the virtual position and the destination. So I would go with the same route points again and try it and see if I can replicate it. So I think I'm going to back out of here. The 49ers went into overtime. They might win a game, but then again, they might not. I want to hear the end of the game and see what happens. Prepare to have my my hopes dashed again. Anyway, maybe I'll just leave it on and come back in a little while, see what's going on here.
Thanks, Jim. Yeah, please do check that out, and then you know, email me or the list or whatever you want with the steps to reproduce. It may already be fixed in this the betas that we're working on and alphas and stuff in the next version. So we'll let you know. Good to know about the 49ers. I think I'm going to go turn on that game too. And I should get out of here too, gang. And it's been a lot of fun. You guys take care, and we'll try to catch you next week.
Are they playing the Bears?
No, they're playing playing Arizona, the Cardinals.
I think Denver's playing the Bears. Here's a real quick question based upon, it's kind of, I guess, a user preference, but I was going back and looking at some of the earlier chats that from like February, which I hadn't had a chance to sit in and listen to yet. And one of the topics was turning off the abundance of points of interest and just going with turns only with the RM command. And I'm just kind of curious as to what most people tend to do. Do you leave your points of interest on all the time, or do you kind of shut it down and just go with turns only? I know that's the case for vehicular, but is that also recommended at all for pedestrian? I tend to leave mine on only because that's what I'm used to, but I certainly would be willing to try it. I'm just kind of curious to what most people tend to do in that regard.
When I'm walking in my neighborhood, I'll may have the address and turn only, and I have it repeat about every 1 minute because I don't want it to be talking too much.
I think what I will do is keep my POIs on because it gives me a mental map whether I am in a car or walking, and most of the time I will repeat turns if I'm following a vehicular route or even a pedestrian route. I might repeat the turns. If I am on a pedestrian route, I will repeat the intersections.
I think with the RM setting they're referring to is changes from details, route following, to turns only. And the difference with that is, especially on vehicle routes, is it won't announce every single waypoint. So most of the time, waypoints are dropped at intersections or off ramps, and if you're on the freeway. And so it's not really that helpful for the unit to chatter that much. And you can, I guess, just turn it to turns only and have it and be focused on the turns at the route rather than each and every waypoint.
Yeah, that seems like it'd be more beneficial for the vehicular route. So I'll give that a try next time. Chris, your mic was having some problems. There was a lot of static from time to time. I don't know whether there's a connection problem or whether it's the mic. We could still hear you, but there was some static underneath your voice.
I think he's on his laptop.
No, I'm actually on a wireless mic.
Yeah, there's also some sort of buzz with him as well.
Yeah, it probably has to do with the receiver being too close or whatever. But it sounds like the tower's right next door. That's what that buzz is that you're hearing. So, Jerry, what type of GPS would Santa Claus need?
He might opt for a Sendero GPS.
Yeah, Kevin, you were kind of cutting off too as well.